This gospel from the feast is a good commentary on the reading from the book of Leviticus. That's why I thought we should do it that way. This is a famous chapter, Leviticus 23, where it lists all the major feast days of Israel. Now, this outlook is so challenging that we easily sink back into another. You see, these are the festivals of the Lord which you shall celebrate at the proper time with the sacred assembly. Now, what are they? They're historical commemorations. This is the only in biblical religion do you have this. We have Martin Luther King's Day. We got Independence Day. And those are national feasts. Nice. Only these celebrate God's acts in history. They're built on the rhythm of the harvests, on the rhythm of the life of the earth. But they take them all up. Passover, weeks, booths, these are all. And the radical difference between biblical religion and everything else is that. That really lies behind our Lord's words to Martha. You're doing a good job, Martha, but the only thing that matters is whether you recognize that God has broken into your life. Not a memory of God, not a feast of God, God. That is the stand of the Old Testament from which we learn. All these feasts are timed in one way by the rhythm of the cosmos, the different harvests. But they're timed that way. But what is celebrated is not the harvest. You see, it's Passover. When God saved his people from Israel, from Egypt. You see? And they're all that way. You see? They're all feast days measured by time. We've done this hundreds of times before. But let's take Shabbat, which is the most beautiful, and that's why so solemn a day. We measure time, you know, the day, the month, the year, are all measured by the way the cosmos moves, right? The sun, the moon, and all of that. But Shabbat is measured by the word of God. There's no intrinsic reason why the seventh day, that's measured by the word of God, breaking into this other cycle. And lifting it to a much higher level. That's the significance. And that's why the minute Satan wants to destroy a culture, open up the malls. And we don't have a Shabbat. And so, then, what's the difference between Martin Luther King's Day, which is wonderful, we honor a great American citizen who did a lot for the country. What's the difference between that and Easter? Easter is again the day that the Lord changed all the laws of this cosmos so that death is not the last word. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, which is a totally transcendent act brought into our history. This is biblical religion, that God acts in our history. Once you step out of biblical religion, Jewish and Christian, you never have this. whether you looked at all the great Buddhist feasts or Hindu feasts or the American civil feasts or whatever, they don't commemorate God breaking into history and doing something. Only the Bible, and only in the Bible, do we look at and acknowledge that God acted in history. The first thing that goes now, you see, so it goes through sloth and greed first. You know, we don't want to get out of bed on Sunday. We did that last year. And greed, open up all the stores. And then, sliding into that, is rebellion against God. We'll have our soccer matches on Sunday morning. That's arbitrary. And for some people, it's, then you have the rest of the day to be with your family. But it really is to stop people, Christians, from worshiping on Sunday, as the Lord has told us to do. And when we get together, we not only commemorate the resurrection, we have it, Jesus Christ, here on our altar, with glory and power and beauty hidden in the bread and wine. And we commemorate what? An act in history, the raising of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, transcendence, real transcendence, is a celebration of immanence as well. It's not just honoring the powers. All other religion, when it is, in our country, we don't have, we have, you know, Washington and Lincoln and Martin Luther King and whatever, 4th of July, you see. They're all nice historical events. That's all. And Christmas and Easter have become the same for most people. But they are not. Because they are not only commemorations of God's acts and histories, they are memories. That is, by the power of the Spirit, this memory brings this back. Do this in memory of me. I can't do that by just remembering the Passion and Resurrection. It has to be the work of the Lord, the words of the Lord, and the memory makes it present. And if we don't stay alert, and this is why, you know, we've said 100 times, that wonderful text of John Paul II, a faith which does not become culture, that is, take culture and bring it up into the acts of God in history, which is what makes us different than everybody else. Who else thinks that God acts in history? Now, there's enough memory. You know, some pagans could have gone to the healing service downtown a few weeks ago and got healed and sort of, you know, thought maybe there was something going on, because the idea of God and the idea of commemoration are, you know, they're 2,000 years old now. They're hard to eradicate. But they have been. So that even Christians can't tell the difference between Easter and George Washington's birthday. I mean, they know they're different themes, but do you know that when we celebrate Easter, that Jesus Christ, the living, eternal, incarnate Son of God, is among us? He is the Lord of all time. Time has been taken up into worship. You see, the church is not in time. Time is in the church. That's why I thought this morning, and then we nearly missed it, but you see, if you go study this chapter 23, you see, this is all, except for the Yom Kippur. This has a date, but it is also in the rhythm, in the outlook, because we are making atonement to God, the living God, not to the cosmic forces. All other commemoration is either cosmic or civil. There is a famous inscription from a town called Prairien, and it goes, let me see if I can remember it now. This day marks the birthday of the god, the emperor. You see? And he's called the Savior and the Lord. So the Christians said, no, no, no. There's only one Savior and one Lord, Jesus Christ. And so you have, when the angel comes, I bring you good tidings of great joy, because today for you is born in Bethlehem a Savior. Not Augustus, that little baby. Who is Christ? That is a Jewish term. Who is the Messiah? Somebody coming into history and changing it by the divine power being made present for us in history. So you have the Soter, the Savior, Christos, and then Kyrios. So the true Kyrios is the Christos, the Savior. Augustus is Savior because he improved the GNP. That's all there is. Do you see how we are so threatened and how dumb we are? We settle right back into it. And these people who really observe Sunday, you know, who know the difference between Washington's birthday and Christmas, you know, they're fanatics. You see how important it is that there be space and time invaded by God. And that's the meaning of liturgy. It's not a stirring ceremony. It's the entrance of God into our time and space.